Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
You need to make money by Monday. How do you sell your product and or service right now to go make some money? You may look a little bootleg in the beginning, but you have a million-dollar idea that's sitting right here. And if you have a phenomenal product and or service, people will bypass the stuff that's not all the way to get together to get your product and or service. And then once you have your blueprint, take all your funding and then go maximize it behind that and then take it to that next level. But go make money by Monday.
Hey, business owners, what if I helped you get access to $50,000 in business funding for $1 a day? Would you be interested? Inside of my Credit Mastery community, you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program that's worth tens of thousands of dollars to give you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that'll help you reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be giving you 2 coaching calls every week that'll give you the exact banks you need to go to get access to $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat get access to $50,000 in funding from Chase, helped Alvin get access to $8,000 in funding from Amex, helped Matt boost his personal credit score by 150 points, and helped Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below this video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today is a very special day because our guest today is a mother, woman of God, business attorney, investor, entrepreneur, mentor, and business growth specialist extraordinaire. To date, our guest has been an entrepreneur for nearly 2 decades and has taken her expertise in building multiple 6 to 7 businesses to educate and empower business owners just like you. Whether she's teaching aspiring entrepreneurs how to structure, fund, and market their business today to create their success story of tomorrow, or hosting virtual masterclasses to coach new entrepreneurs on how to take their business from bankrupt to bankrolls, our guest's impact is proof why her success in the space is not coincidence, it's confirmation. And today, she's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from Los Angeles, California, by way of Orlando, Florida, I'm here with the one, the only, your business bestie, Ms. Joy Hunt. How are you, family?
Come on, Marv, with the intro. Yes.
How are you?
Yes, I got to steal that. I'm awesome. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored, even better now that I'm talking to you. How was the trip over here?
It was good.
Good, good. Fantastic. Happy to have you on. You are a, man, the words I'm trying to find, just following you for as long as I have, it's going to be a very fun conversation. I'm looking forward to it. You're filled with knowledge. Your story is inspiring, and I'm excited to let the people know more and more about it.
Okay, let's go.
Let's do it. So obviously I know I did a solid job introducing you, but nobody knows Joy Hunt better than the woman herself. So for those who are unfamiliar, let's get them familiar. Who exactly is Joy Hunt?
Okay, so I am your business bestie. I'm going to help you structure, fund, and market your business to get it to the bank. I am a mom of a fabulous 12-year-old son, Deuce. I have been in business for over 20 years, so I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in business. And I have gone through a learning experience in my marriage. And I want to teach entrepreneurs and women, you know, how to be able to be financially independent.
Mm. I love it. I love it. So like you said, you have been in the space of entrepreneurship for a sizable amount of time. And I'm sure you learned a lot of things along the way. In us talking about your expertise, I think context is important, right? And want to make sure we dive into your story. So let's go back.
Okay.
Let's go way, way, way back. Okay. Right? Let's go to the early 2010s.
Okay.
Okay. At that time, you are an established business attorney. Correct. But You're at that time, if I'm not mistaken, you're running one of the hottest full service hair salons out of Houston.
Correct.
Super Weave Express.
Correct.
And you're also running a hair boutique at the time, right? Creme de la Creme Hair.
Correct.
Walk us through what that time in your life looked like.
That was fun.
Okay.
That was fun. So I'm really big on where is the money? I'm not big on titles. And so I saw the movie Good Hair by Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Never wore hair extensions in my life. And that's when I saw, oh, there's really money in this hair industry. So although I'm an attorney, I'll be at court and then I will be passing out my hair flyers to all the people in court who will stop me because I was like, I'm trying to, you know, hey, I have this, I have that. So I believe in having multiple streams of income. So attorney during the day, running the salons in the afternoon at night. And then when I got pregnant in 2011. I had a really sick pregnancy. Like I was just sick all the time.
Yeah.
And so that's when I was like, I got to be able to make money where it's not dependent on me.
Yeah.
And so that's when I finally transitioned out from actually practicing law and then just focusing on businesses full time.
Okay. So you, of course, end up getting pregnant. You go all in on business. And at the time, you're still managing the hair boutique and the hair salon, right?
Hair boutique, hair salon, correct.
If I read a story somewhere that during that time, postpartum, I think you were 2 weeks postpartum, the hair salon and the hair boutique were in Houston. And there was a time where you were preparing for like a really, really big weekend. I think it was like All-Star Weekend that was coming up. And around that time, you're making sure all the bells and whistles are in order, right? Everything's going to come together great. You're trying to also prepare to, for new being a new mother. But then at the time, I think one of your more important employees quits. Well, not quits. They call out the day of.
You did your research, Marv. Come on. Well,
I got to do what I need to do. I got to do what I need to do. But do you remember that moment in your life? Can you share that story with the audience?
So we had just started our salon, Super Vive Express. And sometimes God will kind of tell you, like, this is where you need to go. So this is where I need to go. And we knew that All-Star was coming to Houston. I want to say All-Star may have came either 6 months or 8 months after we opened. And so we have been preparing for this is going to be our big break. This is going to be our big break. We hired a manager. We actually moved her into our home. I got her a company van because, you know, she didn't have transportation at the time. Like, I do too much for my employees. Learn that. But and the whole thing was, I got to train you because my son was also due around the same time as All-Star Weekend. I wanted to be off as a mom and breastfeed because if you breastfeed, your kid's supposed to be smart, apparently.
Okay.
I had my son, went back to the hospital. He had jaundice. So I was home literally maybe 5 days with my son when All-Star Weekend hit. And Monday morning came and she's talking about she ain't got a babysitter. Like, girl, now you didn't have six. Like, why are you playing with me?
Right?
Why are you playing with me? So I just told her, okay, cool. Just take the whole week off. Because, see, I don't. When an employee tries to play with you, you have to kind of nip that in the bud, or they're going to keep playing with you.
Yeah.
So I sort of just keep the whole week off all work. And so I leave my little sick baby at home, and I go to the salon, and I just broke down in tears. Like, Jesus, I cannot believe. Like, I have been working my butt off to be able to have this time off as a mom. And I have to work. I can't breastfeed. Like, I was barely producing milk as it was. And in the salon, I can't be pumping. And it's just like I'm missing out with being with my son. I just broke down crying. Like, I cannot believe this is happening. And then I just said, you know, Jesus, if I have to sacrifice, like, being the mom I wanted to be able to have this business grow, because I cannot miss out on this opportunity. I said, well, just let it be and help me and just bless the business. And on average, we might do like 5 to 10 people a day. It was really slow. And that first Monday, we did like 30 people. It was like people just kept coming from out the woodworks. And I would be like, how'd you hear about us? And they were just like, oh, word of mouth. Like, we weren't even running any big ads. And I was like, how? And I was like, you know what? And I just like, this is God. Like, God blessed my business. And from that, it just took our business to a whole nother level. 5 locations in 2 years. Like, we were just killing it. But sometimes you have to make, like, a sacrifice And God's going to bless you for that sacrifice.
I love it. What did that season of sacrifice teach you about entrepreneurship that you didn't already know at that time?
Nothing is off limits for what you have to do for your business. If you're all in, you have to be all in. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I can work all night. You know, no one's going to outwork me.
Yeah.
But when it came to, dang, I can't be like, I can't be a mom. Mm-hmm. That was like a sacrifice. I was like, ooh, like God, you okay? Like I'm gonna follow you. Like I asked mm-hmm. God to bless this business. Mm-hmm. I knew that I was leaving, you know, practicing. I needed to replace that income. I'm asking you for the overflow. Mm-hmm. So the overflow isn't gonna come when like how you want it to be. Okay, bless me, but bless me between 8 a.m. and that's not how it works, right? Yeah. So if I'm asking for this overflow, I have to be able to sacrifice some things. So that was like my first experience, like, you know, sacrificing the whole mom thing, like, dang, my baby got home sick, I can't breastfeed, but I asked for this business to hit. So it is what it is.
Do you think that's a common misconception? And I love the way that you so beautifully broke that down, which is just like when you ask for the overflow, you can't articulate, well, it has to be in packaged in this way. Like God gonna give it to you how he gives it
correct,
to you.
Correct, correct.
Even me studying your story, I remember like right before you made the full transition to just going all in on the hair salon, the hair boutique, back when you were still like practicing, you were selling hair like out of your law office.
Mm-hmm.
Like serving where you were,
yes.
Right? So you couldn't pick and choose like, well, no, God, this has to be perfect and the salon has to be set up and all my employees have to be trained.
Mm-mm.
And then you bring the overflow. Like it doesn't work
correct.
That way. What are those conversations like when you're speaking with new entrepreneurs who have that misconception and think like, oh no, I got to have A through Z in place
mm-hmm.
and then God, you can bring everything else. But until then, I'm not going to move. What are those conversations like?
So I teach people you need to make money by Monday. How do you sell your product and or service mm-hmm. right now to go make some money?
Mm-hmm.
You may look a little bootleg in the beginning, but you have $1 million idea that's sitting right here.
Yeah.
And as long as you wait on the inventory and the equipment and the baby, God gave you the vision.
Yeah.
He's looking for you to go ahead and move on it. And if you have a phenomenal product and or service, people will bypass the stuff that's not all the way to get together
yeah.
to get your product and or service. Think of like maybe a soul food restaurant that you may love or like a food truck you may love.
Yeah.
You know, the food truck may be an off or a flat, but them tacos is mm-hmm. off the chain. So they may speak no English, but you yeah. are going there because the tacos are, you know, the menu may not be branded, you know, it may look hodgepodge, but you're going for the tacos.
Right.
So if you get your product and or service out, people are coming for that product. They don't mind that maybe you're mobile in the beginning, but you want to get proof of concept. Does somebody besides your mama, sister, cousin want your product and or service?
Mm-hmm.
Don't empty your 401k, max out your credit cards, getting the business you think people want.
Right.
And then now we don't have any customers,
yeah.
and now you're filing bankruptcy, right? Sell it now. Get all the tweaks out. What do people want? What do they not want? And then once you have your blueprint, take all your funding and then go maximize it behind that and then take it to that next level. But go make money by Monday.
I love it. Go make money. And I think that's an important message for a lot of new business, even for myself. Like when you came in before we started shooting, you were like, you know, marveling at like the equipment and mm-hmm. everything else. But like, even for me, it didn't start like this. It started
right.
with an iPhone and a big eerie warehouse with no mics. Right. But even when I think back to like my first podcast episode I ever did, I didn't have the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the mm-hmm. skill set that I had now, but I served right there where I was.
Right.
And if I didn't, I wouldn't be here.
Correct.
I wouldn't have gotten to this point. For me, I know at that time, it's not that I wasn't fearful of like, well, what if this doesn't work and what if that doesn't work? It was more so that I did it in spite of. Did you see that was the same for you, or was it that you just, the fear wasn't there and you were just able to go and you were just filled with optimism? Like mentally and emotionally, where were you at that time when you were serving during that season of your life?
Well, see, I just in the way I see things, mm-hmm. I'm going to get it out.
Yeah.
So however I have to get it out,
yeah.
that's how I'm going to get it out.
Yeah.
I don't have the perception that business has to be all of that in the beginning, because in real business, it's not.
Yeah.
Like Master P, I would say, another thing I say is Master P was selling CDs
yeah.
out of the back of his trunk, mm-hmm. right? Like, so I grew up in that era. Like, I grew up in the, you got to hustle. Like, nowadays, all this social media and Instagram and buy my course and be a millionaire, all that is fugazi fugazi. And that's what I think a lot of people think business is. Real business is selling that plate, you know, outside your van,
yeah.
hustling, you know, at the mall, selling a CD. That's business. Mm-hmm. And then once you get it going, take that cash flow. You can make it prettier later. But if you have that, get your product out. By any means. So I was selling hair at my law office conference room, bootleg, mm-hmm. but I'm making sales.
Come on now.
I'm making sales. When you walk in, it says the Hunt Law Group, and you kind of looking like, girl, where am I? But I put my money in my product and my packaging. Mm. So I have my packaging mirror back in the olden days, 2009, 2010, mm-hmm. grocery store where I'm pack hair. So Indy Remy was the big brand. Mm-hmm. So my packaging mirrored the big boys.
Mm.
So although you're like, well, I'm going to a law office, the product looked A1.
Mm-hmm.
Then once I'm making sales, I kick my law partner like, hey, I need your office. And I made the hair boutique in the second office.
Wow.
Still making sales. Now I know, okay, this is it. They like this hair. This fits the packaging. I have consistent cash flow. Now I'll go invest in prime commercial real estate, Galleria area in Houston with the hair boutique.
Mm-hmm.
But I had proof of concept first. Somebody besides my mama's sister cousin mm-hmm. wants this product. Now I can go put the money behind it with confidence knowing that someone's going to be there.
I love it. You took that passion, you took that conviction and just the work ethic to build one of the hottest hair salons out of Houston. You dominated the space for some time, but then after a while you actually pivoted, which mm-hmm. is actually very surprising. Why did you do that?
I wasn't duplicatable.
Okay.
So what I saw with the success of the salon was I had to be the one managing all the locations. Over 100 employees. Number one, that was a lot. Number two, let me rephrase.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I said is number two.
Okay.
I couldn't duplicate myself. Number one, although I had a great business model, I was dependent on someone to make money.
Mm.
So I'm not a hairstylist.
Yeah.
So if someone called in, someone had an attitude, I had to go send somebody home because they wasn't in dress code. It was like I couldn't do the hair. So I felt like I had to always be dependent on the employee to make the money.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, this not going to work long term. Mm. So I need to be able to be where I'm selling something where I don't need anyone to sell the product. Mm-hmm. I can do it myself.
Mm.
And so my husband at the time, he's really big into cars. He lost a lot of money buying cars, trying to do stuff on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learned everything that you're not supposed to do when it comes to buying a car.
Mm-hmm.
And the hardest part in business is learning the exceptions to the rule. So once we learn what not to do, we can Google what to do. That's the easy part.
Yeah.
So I said, we already took this loss. Let's turn this loss into a business to make money off of it. And with a car, I don't need anyone. I don't need a car. I can sell a car myself. So I said, I will never have a business where I'm dependent on someone to make the money.
Mm.
So that's why we pivoted from that. We had one location. Then when COVID came, we closed that last location down and did the dealership full time.
So here's what's interesting, right? If we follow your story closely, we go from business attorney, then you pivot to the hair space. Crush it there, then you now pivot, like you said, to the auto space. If I remember correctly, Hollywood Auto.
Hollywood Motors.
Hollywood Motors, there we go. Before we dive into that, there's been a couple pivots here, and I want to unpack that a bit because right now, especially if we're speaking to newer entrepreneurs, a lot of times you have a business owner and they get into something, either whether it works or it doesn't work, they'll be in it for a little bit, and then they're like, all right, let me go ahead and switch over. You've done that a couple of times in your entrepreneurial journey. For you, what have been some of the key indicators of when you know, like, all right, it's time to switch gears and probably go in a different direction here versus no, even though it's maybe uncomfortable, this may not be what I want to do and this is where I'm at right now, I'm going to stick with this and ride this thing out. How do you know when it's time to pivot versus when it's time to ride through whatever's going on?
I would say, number one, looking at the industry.
Okay.
Number two, do you see yourself scaling? Because scaling any business makes money. You make the millions when you can scale it. So okay. Can I scale this? In my hair salon, I can't scale it because I can't find two more baby joys that can be able to regulate and keep. So I knew I was capped at a certain amount of money because I couldn't scale this any further.
Mm-hmm.
So we had like 5 locations in Texas. We had 5 others in Louisiana, and it was like you know, some locations are running it a little different, you know, making, you know, when everything has to be consistent.
Yeah.
The fries at McDonald's in New York taste the same as the fries in McDonald's in Atlanta. If I can't keep that consistency, I'm hurting the brand, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just like, I know I can't scale it, so I need to be looking. So I was looking at something else.
Yeah.
Same with when I first started just selling hair extensions.
Mm-hmm.
And we were selling hair extensions for $200 a bundle back in the day.
Mm.
When the recession hit, a girl coming to spend $600-$800 on hair, unless mm-hmm. you worked in the entertainment field, a regular 9-to-5 girl couldn't afford. So I'm like, okay, how do we pivot? So you need to always be looking at what's going on in the economy, what's going on in the industry.
Yeah.
Are you scalable? If not, what else do you need to do? Or what else can you, how can you change your business model? You don't have to just change industry. Like in our dealership, we started with just bank financing.
Mm-hmm.
So you come buy a car, regularly you buy a car, we get it financed with the bank, and then, you know, there you go.
Right.
Once COVID hit, when we were doing the financing, they would ask the employer, do you see this employee having a job in the next 6 months?
Mm.
And employers are like, well, we may even not even be around the next 6 months. Like, we don't know what's going on in COVID.
Right.
And so we couldn't get a lot of deals done. And so I was like, well, since the bank isn't financing, why don't we just become the bank?
Yeah.
And once we still sell cars, but made that small pivot, game changer.
Right.
Because in-house financing, it sounds bootleg. That's where the money is.
Because
you're selling the same car over and over and over and over again.
Okay.
So you, as a CEO, you're always researching your industry. You're always seeing what's coming. You just can't be stuck in this is it, and I'm not doing anything else different.
Yeah, I love that.
Hey, business owners, what if I told you that for just 90 cents a day, you could get access to $45,000 in business funding? I just launched my Credit Mastery community, where inside you're gonna be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program worth tens of thousands of dollars that's gonna teach you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also gonna be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that's gonna be working with you to reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're gonna be providing you 2 coaching calls a week where we're gonna teach you the exact banks that you need to go to get access to anywhere between $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat access $50,000 in funding from Chase, help Alvin get $8,000 in funding from Amex, help Matt boost his credit score by over 150 points, and help Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below the video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
We go to 2017. Now you're in the auto space mm-hmm. with you and your now ex-husband, and you're running the business from 2017 to 2021, if I remember correctly. And around that time, your marriage starts to take a bit of a downward spiral. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I think my marriage was taking a downward spiral. And, you know, I want a two-parent home.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted my kid to have the same lifestyle as I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think it was as bad. And then it kept getting, you know, worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And so sometimes you got to just cut ties.
Okay.
Right? So was deciding we were, you know, do we stay? Do we go? What are we doing? We're in marriage counseling. It's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we're in marriage counseling, I find out he's having an affair with employees.
Mm.
But God always gives you exactly what it is that you need, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just needed like some kind of confirmation that if I leave, me breaking up this family is fine. And so that was all I needed to go ahead and pack up my little bags. But I thought that we would just be divorced. People get divorced all the time.
Yeah.
And at the time, I thought we were great business partners because our strengths are totally different. Mm-hmm. So together, you know, that made us like a good team. Mm-hmm. And so I just moved to the next subdivision, you know, kept coming to work, didn't mention anything to anyone, just trying to keep everything on the up and up to, you know, because we're good business partners, we'll just be business partners. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God has to reveal things to you that you had no idea was going on. And although my husband wasn't the best husband, mm-hmm. right? I didn't think that he despised me and hated me. And so he didn't think I was serious when I said I was leaving, mm-hmm. but I was. And then one night at the dealership, when I was like, okay, yeah, so I am going to file for a divorce and and he just snapped and he pulled a gun out. So I'm going to kill
wait,
you.
Wait. Yeah, don't, you can't just speak
okay, that. Okay. I was trying, you know, just get past that part real quick.
What happened?
So we were at our dealership one night, me, him, and our son, and we're kind of sitting like this.
Like this, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting down at my desk, and he's standing up looking at me.
Okay.
And I had been out of our marital home for maybe about 2 weeks at this time.
Okay.
Maybe three. But I think, like, I've never mentioned the word divorce, okay? I'm just trying to, like, let me get out the house, let me get myself situated, because once I found out about the affair and said I was moving out, that's when I really saw the decline in him.
Mm.
So before, I'm about to tell you the incident that happened. Before the incident I'm about to tell you about, we were having a meeting at the dealership, and he just pulled a gun out and had it to his head and was cussing. And then he went in the lobby and he shot three rounds this way and three rounds that way. We had customers in our dealership. I'm just like, what in the world is going on? Like, if you're having an affair and this is the love of your life or whatever, and your wife finds out, you should probably know that your wife is leaving. But I don't understand. I'm not calling. Mm-hmm. I'm not causing any ruckus. Mm-hmm. I'm just removing myself. So right. I'm not understanding, like, what are you so mad about?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, well, let me not show strength. Because whenever I say, hey, I show strength, I see that you kind of snap out.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just trying to remove myself from the house, remove my child, and be as civil as possible.
Yeah.
I'm still not mad. I am going to file for a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so he's like, oh, I'll never give you any money. In fact, I'll kill you before I give you any money.
Mm.
And I'm like, I've already said I don't want to dissolve the business. Mm-hmm. I don't want the business in the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take any money. I don't want any child support. I don't want any spousal support. I don't want to injure the business, because I saw my son running Hollywood Motors. He used to do videos. Hey, come to my daddy's. I mean, like, I just saw that for my son. So I don't want to mess with the money.
Yeah.
Just whatever we're paying ourselves, keep it the same. Just keep everything the same financially. I'm just going to move it and just keep everything the same. So I'm not understanding, what are you mad about?
Yeah.
Pulled a gun out, went in, shot at me in through my office, and I ran right past my son and called 911. And that was the day that I was like, Joy, how did you get here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did I just miss all the red flags? Let me not say miss. How did I take my... Why do I keep taking my crayon set out, Marv, and color over the red flag green? Yeah. Like, girl, you been saw stuff,
right,
but you don't want to see it for what it is.
Right.
So now I have to pack up and move to Florida because my brother's there. My mom's in Dallas. That's too close for you to roll up, you know, and get me. So I moved to Florida. A month later, he takes all the money out of our accounts, locks me out of our businesses. Wow. And so February of 2022, my mama had to pay my rent.
Mm.
And now I'm really, I got to start all the way over from scratch.
This is heavy. I'm trying to unpack.
Yeah. Good luck, Mark.
Yeah, this is a very let's go back a little bit. You said something about coloring over the red flags that you potentially saw. What were some of the things that you saw leading up to that ultimate incident where basically almost had your ex-husband almost try and take your life, right? What were some of those things that you saw leading up to it? It was like, this may be a bit of a concern long term, but I'm not going to worry myself with it too much right now.
Violence. He was, whenever he got mad, he always just snapped. Always. He's going to go from 0 to 100. But he'll break a wall. He'll break a table. The violence was never to me. So I should have realized any man that doesn't have self-control over his self when he's mad, that should have been a sign. But then over time, the breaking the table and the chair and the wall turned to throwing all the china at you as he's chasing you around the house, turned to taking your perfume and chunking at you, turned to I'm purposely going to just be mad, but I don't know why you're mad. Like, so trying to appease him, trying to, when someone is toxic, they're dealing with their own battles. Yeah. And so as a spouse of a toxic person, you're trying to be as calm, as peaceful. Like, let me just not be in this person's way. Let me not speak. Let me not talk. Let me not breathe. You're like walking on eggshells because you don't know what's going to trigger this person, but they get triggered. And now I'm getting triggered. Now he's getting triggered more and more and more.
Yeah.
Now you're showing violence in front of the kids. And I'm just like, okay. Like, and so that was like one of the main reasons why I was saying, I just think we need to go our separate ways because now my son is seeing this. I had a bonus daughter. Now she's seeing this. Like, he's having to run in between. No, daddy, you know, don't yell at mommy. It's like with a man and a woman, it's like I can't overpower a man. So I kind of felt helpless a lot of times. And this is like this. Okay, Joy, this is not healthy. On the outside, our life looks fabulous. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But on the inside, I'm like, this isn't it. So the violence was one thing. Financially, over time, I got joint accounts. Now all of a sudden, I don't have access to the money. Like, you know, all of a sudden, I can't just go to the safe that we have in the house. And well, no, I'll keep the key. If you need anything, you just come to me. But why do I have to come to you when I'm the one? I'm working. I'm working more than you. I've been working. Like, why do I have to? And so I used to have to come to him for $20 to go to Smoothie King. Like, it was like slowly but surely, and I'm seeing. And then once the financial control changed, my whole thing would be like, why I got to ask you for $20 to go to Smoothie King? Like, this don't make no sense.
Right.
But then that's when he's gonna So my reaction is, I don't want to, when he's mad, I just back down. But that's what's happening. So whenever I want to speak up, he flares up with violence, and then I just calm down because I want to calm down the situation. But I'm not resolving anything. So the second I saw the money slipping away from me, so I could never put my hand, I had to ask for $200 to go to the grocery store. And my mama, I love her to death. She would be in the grocery store with me, and I would, because I'm out having a grocery shop, like, okay, how much? And I would be at the counter, and it may be $210. I didn't have $210. I got this Birkin bag. Outside is the Rolls Royce, but I'm $10 short.
Yeah.
And my mom would just, she'd just hand me her car. And she never spoke, like, she never said anything. She gave me a look like, "Now, girl." But she would never speak on, like, "What are you doing?" Which I respect now, because it's like, I was in it. When you're in the funk, it doesn't happen on day one. Over time, it's like your boundaries just keep getting pushed and pushed and pushed. But it's just like, I don't get why I got to ask you for $20. Yeah. Like, why are you the person over all the money?
Yeah.
And so I speak up about it now because I don't want another woman who's in that same situation, because it's not going to get better. In my mind, it's not going to get better, girl. It's not.
How difficult was it juggling being a mom, you're running this business, and you're kind of, it sounds like you're sleeping with one eye open because you're still tied with somebody that's very erratic and very unpredictable. What was that like?
It was very stressful. It was very stressful. I would say I was in fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
It was also like I was a mother, because I'm always having to clean up his mess, right? So if he's snapped at work, and I have to always, you know, cover him, right? You know, it's just it's draining, it's exhausting. I put a lot of my goals and things that I wanted to do on hold because I'm having I'm having to always do what he wants me to do.
Yeah. Wow. Do you, what would you say was, because you talked about 2022 was a point where once you finally removed yourself from that situation, you go from Rolls Royce, Birkin bags, business is booming, to now mom has to take care of rent. What would you say was the lowest moment for you during that time? Was it that time, or was it that moment, or was it something else?
My lowest point in life was my last year in my marriage, COVID, for me inside. I was my marriage was suffocating me. February of 2022 was my scariest time, because it was just like, what am I about to do now for my son? And I know business. I knew it was going to take me some time to get me back to where I needed to be.
Yeah.
And I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I can rough it out, right? Yeah. But my little son, he used to Benihana's, right? Mm-hmm. He's steaking shrimp, right? He's Amazon. He is. I go to the mall once a week and get what I want. So it was kind of like, how do I manage his expectations without him knowing mommy don't have no money?
Mm-hmm.
So my lowest point was my last year in marriage, where I'm just like, ugh. But February 2002, I was scared and I was mad at myself, because I was just like, I, as smart as I am, how hard I've worked, I'm thinking when I'm filing for a divorce, I'm going to take a year off and just, you know, be at the Four Seasons, getting at the massage, at the spa, getting massages, in therapy, just, you know, unpacking all of this stuff and just gathering my thoughts, and I deserved a break.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, it's not your time to break right now. It's time for you to get back to work. But this time, I'm working on my own. I don't have a partner who's drilling a hole in my boat. So as much as I work, I'm still stagnant, because this person's going against me.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you're working, it's going to be all you, and I'm going to catapult you. So it looks like you're down. You're not down. I'm just pulling you back like a boomerang to catapult you.
That's good. Where do you think because when I hear your story, obviously, and we're going to talk about, you know, your expertise around business and everything else, but your story is a very common one amongst a lot of women across not only country, but just across the world, period. And while you were able to get to, I guess, the other side of it, unfortunately for some women, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a large part of that, at least speaking from the outside looking in, comes from here, right? Mm-hmm. Having that mental fortitude and having the optimism to keep pushing forward. Where did that come from for you? Why is it that at a certain point in time while you were going through this entire time, did you ever say like, nah, this is it. I can't do this anymore. Where does that come from?
That's going to come from my dad.
Mm.
So my dad was, he grew up in San Antonio, Texas, and he was part of the first Black students who went to a desegregated school. And so he went there. He almost died. And so my grandmother shipped him off to California. So growing up, I grew up with, you're Black. That means you're born behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
Life's not going to be fair. Don't expect it to be fair. You have to always be 10 times better than your counterparts to be treated equal. And you're going to have to fight for everything that you want. So just growing up, you know what I'm saying? I'm not expecting a break.
Yeah.
Whatever adversity is in front of me is supposed to be there. That's how society is. Plus, I'm a woman, so I'm a double negative.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so my job is to, I'm going to think outside the box as to how I'm going to maneuver around this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think, so my mental toughness has been with me since a child.
Yeah.
Going through business is nothing but juggling ups and downs.
Yeah.
So when people ask me, how do you, baby, in business, I'm putting out fires. I'm dealing with ups. It's the same thing. But I realize a lot of women don't understand these things because a lot of the times they are the support, the wife, the kids.
Yep.
And so it's a shock to them, where to me,
Just another day in the office.
Another day in the office.
Well, I mean, not every business owner can say that, hey, I'm coming into work today, but like 24 hours ago, my significant other tried to take my life. So that's an entirely different level.
Correct. But are you going to be a victim or a victor?
Come on now.
Okay. So I'm the kind of person, if it's me and a bear fighting, go help the bear.
Come on now.
I'm good.
Uh-huh.
So when my back is against the wall, that's when I work the best. And so I think that's why God stripped me of everything, because he knew this is where you function your best. So you took everything from me. Bet. I promise you, a year from now, I'm not going to be where you left me. 2 years from now, I'm about to be, like, my goal is like, whatever you making in a year, my goal, I'm going to make that in a month. I believe in my get back going to be that success. I'm about to win so big. I'm about to make so much noise, not running my mouth about, yeah. I'm about to make so much noise to make such a difference in business. You're going to feel me. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know when. I don't know how. I don't know what God. I was like, God, get it. God, this on you now.
Yeah.
This on you. You got to show me what I'm supposed to do. But I'm going to work so hard.
Yep.
And I'll make a name for myself. And at this point in time, I didn't know what that vehicle was. But I'm going to stay up. I'm waking up early. I'm going to bed late. I'm busting my butt to build a business that's going to take me somewhere to where I'm never going to need you for a dime. So I took all that hate and I fueled it to just energize me just to go harder in the paint.
There's something you said that, and it hearing you say it, you said I could be a victim or a victor, and it just put something on my heart. I think that in this life, there are two types of people. You have because of people and in spite of people. Mm-hmm. So you have two individuals that are in the same situation, and one person is saying, because I'm dealing with problems with my significant other, because I don't have as much money as I would like, because I was born in this environment, because I come from this background, mm-hmm. because mom and dad didn't give me X, Y, and Z, I can't do this. I'm not going to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. How am I going to do this? And they're in that victim mindset.
Correct.
But then you have people like yourself, people like myself, the in spite of people, like, okay. In spite of the fact that I have a significant other that's going against me, in spite of the fact that, listen, I don't know if I have $200 to pay for these groceries tomorrow, right. In spite of the fact that, you know what, I need mom to take care of rent this month, that's this month.
Correct.
I'm focused on next month.
Correct.
I'm focused on next year. I'm
Correct.
Focused on the next decade and beyond.
Correct.
And the only difference between those two people, same circumstance, same situation, is here.
Correct.
Like you said. So, I appreciate you for breaking that down. I thought that was powerful. You go through the season. How does Joy the Business Bestie become born?
So the Business Bestie becomes born. I now have to start a new business. I now got to make some money.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have any money for a brick and mortar.
Yep.
I don't have any money for a nanny to watch my son.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, what am I about to do? Mm-hmm. So the only thing I know is business.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, let me just start giving business tips on social media, because on social media, if you buy the course, you're a millionaire tomorrow and then you're on the beach with your laptop the next day.
Yeah.
And that's not my experience in running seven-figure businesses. I thought, let me just teach what I've experienced. And so I started off doing LLCs and just giving business tips and doing consultations and selling a business grant bundle.
Mm.
And so I just came on Instagram giving out real tips. And yes, I'm a business attorney, but I know the legal side.
Mm.
But most of my information and knowledge is from the 20 years of really being in brick and mortar businesses.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's like, I'm your business bestie. I am combining the business world with the legal world to give you everything you need to hopefully save you heartbreak, misery, bankruptcy, and loss of time to get to where you need to go to quicker.
I love it. Let me start speaking, because I've been speaking to Joy Hunt, the fighter, the mom, the woman of God, the business. I want to start speaking to Joy Hunt, the business bestie, and talking about the expertise. Because like you said, you are not new to entrepreneurship. You are true to entrepreneurship in
Correct.
Every which way possible.
Correct.
You've been on the brick and mortar side and on the digital side, which
Correct.
Not many people can say. to provide some value to a lot of new and aspiring entrepreneurs, I want to start to tackle a lot of the biggest questions I know that a lot of them may have about how they're navigating this space of business. Let's start off with one part of your expertise, which is business structure. Because we get on the internet, like you see, and you see a lot of people saying LLC this, and you got to get your business address that, and your business email this. What is, if I'm new to the world of business, what's the actual correct way for me to go about structuring a business correctly?
Okay, so your four pack for your business structure is going to be an LLC or corporation, your EIN, business bank account, operating agreement. So you want to have that for every single business that you have. So if you have an online boutique and you fix credit and you do lashes, that's three LLCs, that's three business bank accounts, that's three EINs, that's three operating agreements.
Gotcha.
Of course, with having a business address, so not a home address, not a P.O. box, not a mailbox, not a post office address. And then, of course, we're not commingling funds. So we're not taking Cash App to our personal account. We are not taking that business card and getting our nails and lashes done because it's my business. No, there's proper ways of following corporate formalities, or what I call running your business like it's Walmart.
Yeah.
So you want to, you know, only business expenses come out that business account. If you need it, you transfer it to your personal account and then use that personal account to do it. But the business structure would be LLC or corporation, EIN, operating agreement, business bank account, no commingling, and you got to have that four pack for each business that you're doing.
You started off, you talked about LLC, which is interesting because I know that with business structure, you have different entity types. So you have LLCs, you have sole prop, you have S corps, and then I think there's like one or two other ones outside of that. How do I know what business structure is for me? Like, what's the difference between me getting a C corp versus a LLC or an S corp versus a sole prop? Can you talk a bit about that?
So a sole prop is nothing. A sole prop is just you doing business. So if you want to lose your house, your car, and the money in the bank, then go ahead and be a sole prop.
Got it.
Okay, we don't do that.
Okay.
We don't do a DBA. A DBA means don't be asked out. Okay, so that's once again, that's just you out here doing business, exposing your personal assets.
Right.
An S corp is not a business entity. An S corp is a tax election. So there's two business entities to choose from, an LLC or a C corp. We're not forming our business entity because our business is big. It's making all this money. I'm not big enough. No. We're forming our LLC in the beginning to separate us and our assets from the business. So if something happens, our home, the money in our bank, our cars are not going to be affected.
Yeah.
Now, an LLC is going to have a 15.3% self-employment tax. Oh, we don't like that. A C corp is going to have double taxation. Oh, we don't like that. So we form our entity at the state level, LLC or corporation. But at the federal level, the IRS taxes us. So we can choose to be taxed as a sole proprietor, which is what an LLC is going to be taxed at. You can be choose to be taxed as an S corp. So the IRS says, hey, LLC, hey, C corp, if you don't want to pay a 15.3% self-employment tax, or if you don't want double taxation, then you can be taxed as an S corp. Your entity at the state level is still going to be an LLC or a C corp, but at the IRS, they can tax you as an S corp. So normally, the cost of being an S corp will be the owner has to be on payroll with payroll taxes being taken out, and you're now going to file a separate business tax return, which will run you between $750 and $2,000, depending on how complex. So when your business starts making about $60,000 in profit, meaning after you pay your business bills, you're bringing home $60,000, that's when you're going to be talking to your accountant or CPA to make that S-Corp tax election. And that's just filing a form 2553 with the IRS.
I love it. You said something earlier about the separation of separating yourself from your business to make sure that you're protecting yourself. And you talked about not commingling funds. In watching a lot of your content, another thing you talked about was when we're protecting ourselves and separating ourselves from the business, it's also about even things as simple as how we sign paperwork.
Correct.
Like how we sign paperwork as business owners is not the same way we would do it if we're just regular people. Can you talk a bit about that?
So you want to think about your LLC as being a whole nother person.
Okay.
Okay. So although You own the LLC. It's its own person.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're signing contracts, you want to sign not, I'm not Joylyn Hunt.
Mm.
I am Joylyn Hunt, the CEO of Blase Blah LLC.
Yeah.
I'm Joylyn Hunt on behalf of Blase Blah LLC.
Mm-hmm.
So if I sign a lease, so if I'm going to lease this podcast within my business name.
Yes, ma'am.
But I sign it Joylyn Hunt, then I'm saying I'm responsible for this space.
Mm-hmm.
So if I default on this rent, mm-hmm. they're coming after Joylyn Hunt.
Yep.
The whole point of forming a business is so that everything is going to be in the business name.
Yes, ma'am.
Meaning the income and the debt and the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So I would need to sign the lease Joylyn Hunt, CEO of Joy Hunt Enterprises. That's the thing. An LLC can't actually sign paperwork. They're not a person.
Yeah.
I'm signing on behalf of the LLC.
I love it.
So you want to separate you from your business and obligations.
Perfect. One thing that had most entrepreneurs, including myself, in a bit of a frenzy last year, the FinCEN BOI report situation. If I brought you on here and I didn't bring it up, they would come for me afterwards. So we have to talk about it, because there was a moment in those last 60 days, right now we're in 2025,
mm-hmm.
in those last 30 to 60 days of 2024, it's like, we don't have to sign it. We don't have to do it anymore.
Correct.
Now we have to do it.
Correct.
The date got pushed back.
Correct.
And everyone's over here looking like, all right, am I going to get this $5,000 a day penalty or not?
Right.
Like, what's going on?
Right.
In 2025 right now, first off, for those who don't know, could you explain what exactly is the FinCEN BOI reports, and where are we right now when it comes to what entrepreneurs should be doing in regards to that report?
Okay. So the BOI report is the Beneficiary Ownership Information Report.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's the report where the federal government wants the owners of LLCs or corporations to say, hey, I own at least 25% of this entity.
Mm-hmm.
It started because they are trying to cut down on people getting income and not claiming it. So if I have an offshore LLC, if I have an anonymous LLC where the government doesn't know I earned this money, I don't claim the money, then they're like missing out on taxes. So the federal government is saying, hey, we want to know who has an ownership interest in this LLC. If you file a tax return, you're already telling the federal government, I have an ownership interest in this LLC. So it's nothing new. It's nothing like scary or weird. It's just a way to cut down on people who are kind of having anonymous LLCs and kind of working the system. That's how it started.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court came in and said, well, wait a minute. The states regulate the LLC. So
yeah.
The federal government's requiring the state people to do something. Now we think that's unconstitutional. So
mm-hmm.
as of February 1st, 2025, the BOI report is on pause.
Mm.
Now, it may change. The Supreme Court, I believe, has to come back and rule on what this next appeal is. So for anyone who's anxious and just tired of going back and forth, I just say, just file your report.
Yeah.
It's free. It's a one-time report. Unless your information changes, just get it out the way. If you're like, well, no, I want to wait what the court says, well, go ahead and wait, you know, and just stay glued to Instagram to figure out what the new ruling is. But as of February 1st, 2025, it is not due.
Gotcha. Thank God. Because I mean, the second the news came out, I'm seeing how much is it for the daily fine?
Right,
you know, let's go ahead and take that care of. For me, it's better to have than not need, the need than not have. So
correct.
I'm happy I got it taken care of. Okay, good.
38%. That's the amount of entrepreneurs that are struggling to get their business funded because their personal credit isn't where it needs to be. Now, you can look into alternatives like corporate credit cards and vendor accounts, but the truth is the easiest way to get access to 5 to 6 figures in funding is to have good personal credit. As entrepreneur, the stress of trying to build a successful business is already enough as is. So why work harder than you need to when you can simplify the funding process by getting your credit restored? My company, Takeoff Financial, has served hundreds of entrepreneurs just like you by helping them avoid the pain of getting denied for business funding by restoring their personal credit, and we want you to be the next one. So click the link above or below this video to secure your free consultation, and let's put you in position to get your funding that your business needs.
Diving deeper into just business, and even just what we're seeing a lot right now on the internet, one of the buzzwords we hear when the conversation of entrepreneurship is being had is wealth, generational wealth, and preservation of wealth for years to come. In listening to you and studying what you talk about, one of the vehicles or resources, if you will, that I hear most wealthy people use to do that is using a trust.
Okay.
For those who don't know, what exactly is a trust? What role does it play in preserving wealth, protecting our assets, and why do we need a trust?
So a trust is going to be an entity like an LLC mm-hmm. or a corporation. Mm. But there are certain types of trusts. Okay. There's going to be a revocable trust or an irrevocable trust.
Okay.
A revocable trust means I'm putting an asset in the trust, which means I no longer own the asset. Mm-hmm. The trust owns the asset. Mm-hmm. But I can still touch. I can put it in. I can take it away. I can encumber it. You know, I can still play with whatever is the toy, I would say, in the toy box. Mm-hmm. So the trust will be like a toy box, mm-hmm. and my assets, my house, my car, my bank accounts, any kind of land will be the toys I'm putting in this toy box. Mm-hmm. The benefit of having a revocable trust is that upon your death, mm-hmm. your heirs get whatever it is that you want to give them. Mm-hmm. Versus if you have a will, mm-hmm. the will has to go through probate court, which is number one going to be court costs and attorney's fees. If your family is going to be cussing and fussing over who getting what, mm-hmm. now we have litigation.
Yeah.
But probate is a process. Mm-hmm. So if there's any asset that someone's trying to give away in a will mm-hmm. that has any kind of debt on it, like if grandma died and grandma had a mortgage on her home, mm-hmm. well, who's going to pay for the mortgage in the interim as to why we're going through probate? Mm-hmm. So if no one can touch grandma's money and we can't pay for the mortgage, a lot of times assets get lost just in probate because we couldn't afford to keep the asset alive as we're going through probate.
Yeah.
So a revocable living trust gives your assets to your heirs immediately. Mm. It does not protect the asset, though. There's no asset protection on a revocable living trust.
Okay.
So the second type of trust is going to be an irrevocable trust. Mm. Which is, that's the bulletproof trust. Mm-hmm. If you put something in there, it's good to go.
Okay.
However, once you put an asset in there, you can't touch it. You can't move it.
Okay.
You can't encumber it. It's gone.
I can't go in and say hi to it.
No.
Just want to check on it.
No.
I got my little asset in there. Asset, how you doing? I can't.
No do-overs. So wow. I always say, especially for business owners, mm-hmm. holding companies are great because you in business, you're going to have to zig and zag.
Okay.
I may need to pull some property over here to get a collateral loan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I may need to move some stuff over here. I may need to encumber it. So if you want to still have protection but be able to still touch it, I always say a holding company is great because it still separates the asset from you. You still have that asset protection where you can now still touch and play with it if you need to.
Interesting. Is setting up a holding company any different than setting up an LLC? What does that process of setting one up look like?
So a holding company is just going to be an LLC, but it's the way that we use it.
Got it. Okay.
So we're going to use the asset we're going to use the holding company to own our assets. Mm-hmm. It's not going to do any business with the outside world. It's not going to do any kind of financing, no kind of contract. So mm-hmm. it can't be sued. Mm-hmm. So I'll have all my assets sitting in a holding company. I'll be operating out of a different LLC. So if this operating LLC gets sued, it doesn't own anything. Mm-hmm. So I won't lose the asset. In business, you will lose something.
Yeah.
It's just a part of business. Mm-hmm. You make a mistake, your employee makes a mistake. I thought the contract read 1, 2, 3. You thought I said 3, 2, 1. Now we're in court cussing and fussing. Mm-hmm. But you want to separate your assets from the business that's actually doing business with the public because this is the one that can get sued. Mm.
In listening to you talk, if we're staying on the conversation of preservation of wealth, you said something I thought was very controversial that I also want to talk about, bankruptcy. So in our community, right? Mm-hmm. Typically, whenever we hear bankruptcy, the thought process is, oh, you broke. Oh, you lost everything. It's over.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Ball game. But listening to you and your content, you've actually talked about how for some individuals, bankruptcy can actually be a means to preserve wealth or protect their
Correct.
Assets. Which
Correct.
I said, okay, we're going to break it down here.
Okay.
Can you, how exactly does that work?
Bankruptcy is a tool that you may need to use to get up out of some debt. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there are two types of bankruptcies. There's one bankruptcy where you just say, hey, I got too much debt. I don't really have much assets. Just take everything with you and give me a fresh restart.
Yeah.
Okay. But then there's another type of bankruptcy where you can keep all your assets. Mm-hmm. So you may have gotten into a loan and the loan interest rate was just, it's just too much. Like, there's no way I can come up from underneath this debt. Mm-hmm. So let's just say I have $100,000 in debt for maybe a house, a couple cars, some credit cards. What they'll say is, we're going to change that $100,000 of debt and knock it down to 40. Mm. And you just pay off that 40 over 5 years, and you'll be able to keep your assets and get rid of all the excess debt. Mm. So wouldn't it make sense if you want to keep your house, your car, mm-hmm. to be able to and be able to pay less on it, but you'll be in bankruptcy. But all the debt is gone.
Yeah.
The debt, that debt is stress. Mm-hmm. That debt is making you lay up at night. Mm-hmm. That debt is having you cussing and fussing with your spouse. Mm-hmm. That debt is that monkey mm-hmm. on your neck. Mm-hmm. Now your kids can't travel for spring break. Mm-hmm. Now your son has to come out to AU basketball. Mm-hmm. Now that wife can't go to Target. Now you turn in luxury cars and she getting a Camry. Now you're not having sex. Now mm-hmm. you're in bankruptcy court and divorce court, all because you got that. Once the monkey on there, mm-hmm. when your monkey's on that neck, sometimes you can't create, you can't be innovative because you got all that stress.
Yeah.
Once you get that stress off via bankruptcy, go restructure, create a new LLC, mm-hmm. go do another business or do the same business, but now you're doing it free mm-hmm. without all that debt. So understanding, especially for us, bankruptcy isn't the end of the world. Mm-hmm. You can still get a house and a car after bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get bankruptcy off your credit report. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a tool if you found yourself in a bad predicament.
When you talk about debt, what's interesting about that too is also within what you teach, because as business owners, and I'm sure you've experienced this, as most of us, whether we're starting a business or we're looking to grow a business, we may need access to extra capital.
Correct.
Right? Just because whether we want to, for payroll, marketing, operational enhancements and beyond, you also talk about business grants, which is actually very interesting because I'm in the funding space, but I talk more so about just funding by way of the bank and like conventional funding where we have to pay it back. With grants is a different story because now you're getting money that you can use it, don't have to pay it back, you're good. Talk a little bit about how business grants work and for aspiring entrepreneurs or new entrepreneurs that may be looking for financing, how they can start getting their hands on grants for their businesses.
So business grants are going to be money that organizations or businesses are giving out to help entrepreneurs start, grow their business.
Yeah.
They require an LLC, EIN, business bank account. Mm-hmm. There's no credit check. Most business grants are not going to ask for any kind of financial, so no tax returns, no P&L statement. They're simple to apply for. Most mm-hmm. of the applications are going to be online. I have a business grant bundle mm-hmm. that, you know, gives you a link to 1,000 different business grants, and it's a great way of getting free money into your business. So if you're brand new or you're a startup, you're probably robbing from Peter and Paul to pay Mary.
Yes.
So, you know, maxing out that credit card, getting that debt isn't going to help you, because on the first, how are you going to pay that note? Mm-hmm. If you're an established business owner, but you're scaling, mm-hmm. you're in that process of getting more equipment, more inventory, more employees in the location. It's skim because mm-hmm. we're scaling.
Yeah.
So having another note may not help you. So I always say apply for 5 to 10 business grants every single month to improve your chances of winning. And why not get free money into your business to mm-hmm. help catapult it to that next level?
Do you have any resources that, whether it's websites that we can use to stay in the loop of business? Because business grants usually change on like a monthly to quarterly basis. They're always rotating. Any resources that you would recommend that listeners can look into to kind of stay on top of grants that may be a good fit for their business?
My business grant bundle.
There you go.
I have a list. And it's updated every single month. So every single month, you know exactly what business grants are available. Mm-hmm. You can just Google small business grants. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be industry specific. So if I'm a realtor, I don't got to look for a realtor grant. You want to just look for a small business grant. They also have websites. HelloAlice.com, mm-hmm. Skip.com, GrantWatch.gov mm-hmm. will be some websites. Your local Chamber of Commerce will mm-hmm. have some business grants. So there are business grants out there to help you. Mm,
beautiful. If we're staying in that realm of funding, we talked about funding with grants, but what does the process look like of if we want to go a more traditional route of getting funding for our business, not using our personal credit, but using our EIN. What does that process look like?
Okay, so business credit is going to be establishing credit that's solely in your business EIN.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it like going through school. No mm-hmm. matter how smart your first grader is, they can't go from first grade to 12th grade.
Yep.
You got to go to elementary, middle school, then high school. Mm-hmm. Okay, so once you get your EIN, once you get your LLC, save your gas. Don't run to the bank to get funding because your EIN doesn't have any credit. They don't know is your business going to pay on time, late, or not pay at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to first go and get your Dun's number or your Dun & Bradstreet number. It's a free number on the Dun & Bradstreet website. That number is going to help you establish business credit.
Mm-hmm.
The largest business credit bureau is going to be Dun & Bradstreet. So you want to first be able to find vendors that will loan to your business without having any credit. And so the elementary school vendors will be what we call net 30 accounts, what mm-hmm. I call the boring accounts. You don't mm-hmm. want nothing from these vendors, but you got to play to pay.
Mm-hmm.
These vendors are going to give you a what's called a Paydex score.
Yep.
Your personal credit score is going to be your FICO score. The business credit score is going to be called your Paydex score.
Mm-hmm.
You can check your Paydex score by getting a NAV.com account, NAV.com.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be like Credit Karma. You can check your business credit score. So you got to go through the boring vendors. You may have heard of Grainger,
yep.
Quill, T-shirt Club, boring. But we got to go there because they're going to give you a Paydex score.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking for an 80 Paydex score. Once you get an 80 Paydex score, we now can go from elementary school to junior high. Junior high is going to be your store credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Staples, Office Max, Home Depot, Lowe's, Sam's Club, Best Buy, a credit card that can be used at a specific store.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get about five of those accounts reporting to your business credit report, now we can go to high school, which would be our mm-hmm. cash credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Capital One, Chase, American Express. But you have to go in that order.
Mm-hmm.
You can go from elementary, you can go from the net 30s to your store credit cards to your cash credit cards just with your LLC, EIN, business bank account, Dun's mm-hmm. number. You don't have to have any kind of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want a loan, you want a line of credit, you want vehicle financing, you're going to have an 80 Paydex score plus revenue. This is revenue. And mm-hmm. the revenue determines how much financing you will get approved for.
Mm-hmm. When you're speaking with a lot of business owners, how can I as a business owner determine, okay, I need financing. Does it make more sense for me to go with a business grant versus EIN funding versus what I teach, which is like leveraging personal credit to get funding?
Mm-hmm.
How are you typically guiding them on what may fit them?
Number one, how much debt, how much risk tolerance do you have?
Mm.
So everyone can't handle risk. Everyone can't handle debt.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to first figure out where are you in the spectrum?
Mm-hmm.
Anything works. I just say that there is more than one way to skin a cat. What's the best way for you?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're okay with debt and you want to get funding quickly, you probably need to go the personal finance credit where you use your personal social and you carry your business on your back
mm-hmm.
to get the funding to get whatever it is that you need. If you're like, well, wait, I don't want to do all that. Okay, well, it's going to take you some time,
mm-hmm.
but you can start building out your business credit profile. But I always say everyone needs to be applying for business grants from day one.
Mm-hmm.
That would just be like extra gravy for you if you're doing the other funding sources also.
Got you. There was actually, if we're still in the realm of funding, there was some news that came out that I also heard you talk about. I normally don't get into politics on here, but there was news that came out that obviously now we're under the Trump administration. That there was, he had blocked the disbursement of federal loans and then also federal grants.
Correct.
How is that, with that news, could you talk a bit about that and how that may affect certain business owners that may also be looking to get access funding that way?
So if you're getting, if you're applying for any kind of federal loans
mm-hmm.
or federal grants, so SBA,
mm-hmm.
a wrap,
mm-hmm.
you got to prove they're not disbursing it. So any kind of federal funding is not going to be available right now and for whatever is this foreseen future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the writing's on the wall. Now it's time to pivot.
Mm.
Okay. So what other resources do you have mm-hmm. to get access to capital?
Yeah.
There's hard money lending.
Mm-hmm.
There's using your personal credit for financing. There's establishing business credit, and then there's business grants that are just offered from businesses and organizations. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be going down that road because as of now, the federal he is freezing all federal spending. So there are going to be no federal grants or loans, and I would say probably no time soon in the near future.
A lot of the talk now that we're under this administration has said that these next 4 years for business owners may be the most fruitful because of certain policies that he may or may not be putting in place. From your standpoint, over the course of these next 4 years, what are some of the things that business owners should be doing to put themselves in position to whether it's make as much money as possible or grow their business as much as possible?
I'm going to say not just business owners, everyone needs to be having a business under this administration for this reason. I'll get to the business part, but yeah. There is no job security right now.
Talk about that.
There is no job security under this administration. This administration is doing something that is going to be very different, and it may not be beneficial if you are under a certain income threshold. So if you don't have millions, this administration's not really going to be for us. Okay, so the job security, whether you are being let go for DEI, whether we're being let go because the business maybe your employer may be gone due to the tariffs, this trade war that we're about to be into. There's extenuating factors that are going to be affecting businesses. Okay, with this mass deportation, crops are going to be dying in the soil because there's no one there to pull them. That means that groceries are going to be higher. So the regular 9-to-5er needs to be selling a digital product, having some kind of business to be able to afford the grocery store. Okay, construction industry is going to change. There's no more labor. Okay, so if you're remodeling your house, all that's going to go up. So 9-to-5ers got to be able to have a digital product or something to sell just to survive. Now, my business owners, it's time to either start your business. If you have one, it needs to be making money. We need to be 10xing it because things are changing. The writing is on the wall. Okay? So you need to make sure that you understand who your target audience is, understand where they're hanging out, and go put your business right there so you can get fast cash flow consistently. And so if you don't understand how to get in business, start your business, grow your business, now is the time because you're going to need it just to survive. On the other side, we don't. Whatever help is coming down the way or resources is only going to be for business owners. So you want to make sure that number one, you have your correct business structure. Do you have an LLC? Is the LLC active, or did you just form your LLC 3 years ago and you haven't done your annual report? And you see, a lot of times we do things, but we don't do them all the way. So make sure your LLC is active. You have a business bank account. All of the money from your business is hitting that business bank account. The number one reason why small businesses can't get funding is they can't prove their income. They're making it, but it's in your personal cash app. It's in your mattress underneath, you know, at home. It's everywhere but the business bank account. The business bank account is your resume. When you go to get funding or financing, they're going to pull your last 90 days, what's in there. They don't want to, baby, now you're looking bootleg. So either we have a side hustle, which is going to give you no benefits, or you're running a business. And so would Walmart keep money in a Cash App? No. Would Walmart have money at home on the mattress? No. So you shouldn't have it like that either.
I think that's powerful. And that's also something I've heard you talk about as well, because even now when we see a lot of the discussion in this space, a lot of it is it 9-to-5 or entrepreneurship? Is it 9-to-5 versus entrepreneurship? But you're pretty much saying like, no, no, no. It's 9-to-5 and entrepreneurship.
Correct.
If you're a business owner, great. If you're not, you need to go ahead and start, whether it's a side business,
correct,
whatever it may be, because times are changing.
Correct.
Right? And we need to make sure that we're prepared for that. I think what's also important in us educating individuals who don't know about the importance of having a business is also the reality of what it is to be in this space. We touched a little bit on that in you talking about your earlier journey when you were navigating the hair salon, the hair boutique, and the transitions there. But even now, right, we're doing this podcast. Somebody may see that you're sitting here and be like, oh, Joy's chilling. She has her feet up. Business is good. Life is amazing. Every day is probably sunshine and rainbows. You and I know mm-hmm. that we got some fires that we're putting out every single day. business is something, right? Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the reality of what entrepreneurship, even where you are today, you're on the other side of a lot of the trauma and hardship that you've went through, but I'm sure that even still now you're dealing with a lot of uphill battles mm-hmm. in the day-to-day of what it is to be an entrepreneur. What's that side of business that doesn't make it to YouTube, that doesn't make it to Instagram, that you want people to also be privy to before they jump into this thing so they know what they're really getting themselves into?
The saying I say is, it is mean out here in these business streets. It's grimy out here in these business streets. Mm-hmm. Eat or get eaten, killed or be killed. Okay. So being a business owner, you are basically like a fireman. You are putting out fires all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And so you get paid on how good and how quick you put the fire out. Mm-hmm. So in business, no matter how much money you're making, there's always ups and downs. There's always problems. You're always trying to solve something, fix something. Something's always happening.
Yeah.
And if you can't take conflict, if you think that once I make X amount of money, it's going to be smooth sailing, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. The more your business makes, the more fires you're going to have to put up. You got to be fighting with the IRS. You can be fighting with these lawsuits, customer complaints, the government. Like, you're always, you know, contractors trying to rip you out. There's always something happening in business. It's just business. Mm-hmm. So get out of the mind frame of everything's going to be smooth sailing. Nothing in life is smooth sailing. Mm.
What are you at this point with the success that you have as we start to close? What's your North Star? What are you working towards over the course of the next 5, 10 to 15 years that is ultimately keeping you going? Is it a revenue goal? Is it a personal goal? Is it an impact goal? What does that look like for you?
Right now, I am more focused on an impact goal. Mm-hmm. So when you serve, the more people that you serve and you help, mm-hmm. the money is just the byproduct, right? Like, it's just the byproduct. But my experience in dealing with financial abuse, you know, mm-hmm. dealing with all what I've been through in leaving a marriage and being stripped of everything, it was like, I think God had me go through that for a reason, because I am strong and I can be a voice to, number one, let people know this happens all the time. Like, I get so many DMs. Oh my God, my story is just like yours. Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
There's another sociopath out there. I thought I had the only one. Like, it cannot be this common, but unfortunately, it's more common than I think people realize. And so I know how I was feeling in February of 2022 with no problem in worrying about how I'm going to make money, because I've always been the bigger worker in our relationship. Like, I can make the money. It's just, oh my gosh, I didn't know that the person I was married to was going to be treating me this way. But there's some women out here who don't know how to make the money. They were the loving wife and supportive, and I'm stop my dreams to help your dreams. Now you leave me here. So I want to make sure that, number one, women are empowered.
Yep.
To be able to make money. Number two, teach women, even if you are in the best relationship, be able to make your own money. Because what if the love of your life, your husband, what if he got sick in the hospital for 6 months? Can you carry the mortgage? Can you help out financially? Something may happen. Along with, I want to help entrepreneurs, especially in this climate, with mm-hmm. this administration, be able to win. Because as we are in this chaotic time, there are no checks being mailed out this go round. Mm. Okay, so everyone needs to be financially, have their own financial destination in their own hands. Mm-hmm. Once you can make your own money, that eliminates a lot of that extra stress. Mm. Because my future's in my own hands. I can eat whatever I kill.
Yeah.
So the more I can kill, the more I can eat. If I don't even have a trade or a tool or a vehicle to go kill, I'm lost. Mm-hmm. So this go round is more personal. This go round, I don't want anyone else to have to go through what I went through. Mm-hmm. And so I want, this go round is going to be impact. Who can I help? who can I, you know, maybe, hey, girl, put that crayon box down. Stop them colors. It's mm-hmm. not going to get no better. Start making your plan, you know, start working your plan. For the business owner who is like, I feel like I'm failing. You're not failing. Everything that you're going through is normal in business. Mm-hmm. It's ups and downs, but you are going to get your big break. Don't quit. Mm-hmm. Don't quit. You're going to, that one customer, that one opportunity, that one, it's just the power of one. You only need one. You only need one thing to take your life from zero to 100.
Come on.
And so I want to inspire people, don't quit. Like, it's coming. And when it comes, it's going to come so big, you're going to realize, I understood why God made me wait. Come because on. He was giving me the tools I need to handle the burden that comes with the blessing. Because with every blessing, there's a burden. And if you can't handle the burden, the blessing then becomes the burden. So you got to, he's teaching you, you're going through all this to sharpen you, to show you, hey, I'm weak here. I got to fix this. So when the overflow comes, you can catch it. Mm-hmm. See, it's not just making the money. How many NBA stars make millions and lose it?
Come on.
How many businesses are seven figures this year, but then one lawsuit, one bad tax bill, they're out. Mm-hmm. You don't want to just make it. You want to make it and sustain it. Mm. So I want to teach that in this entrepreneur circle that amidst all of the noise of get my course and be a millionaire tomorrow and life's gonna be peachy cream, because that's not what it is.
Joy Hunt, you are incredible. Inspirational. And the amount of conviction you speak, I know that it doesn't just come from a place of I'm looking for out for me, but I hear the passion that you have for the people that you're serving and the women and men that you want to be able to inspire in what you're doing. As we begin to close, I'm thankful for the conversation that we had today. Let the people know that where they can find you, and also let them know what you have coming up.
Okay. So I have a weekly masterclass that's going to teach you how to structure, fund, and market your business to the bank. Mm. So you want to catch me on my website for my masterclass. I also have 5-day business challenges where I break everything down day by day, more information that I have coming. And I'm also having my comeback conference March 1st, turning your setbacks into comebacks in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, just giving you the tools you need to be able to go through this thing called life, right? So you can catch me at joyhuntesq.com, joyhuntesq.com. Or on Instagram, joyhunt_ESQ, and meet me at the bank.
Meet her at the bank. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said it any better myself. Thank you all for tuning in. And as always, if you haven't already, take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now to go ahead, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, tell a friend to tell a friend to come back and watch this episode again. As always, my name is Marvin Francois. That's Joy Hunt, your business bestie. Y'all have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you and God bless. Peace.